Today on Life Talk.
When I'm discouraged, I cast it on Him. When I'm perplexed, I ask wisdom from Him. When I don't know which way to go, I seek direction from Him. He's my all in all, and I draw from Him more and more. More and more, I'm perfectly willing to say, Lord, I can't do this without You. Who is sufficient for these things, Paul said. Not me, not without God.
You are listening to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, the founder and senior pastor of Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Maybe you've noticed that our culture is pretty messed up these days, which makes people feel anxious who are filled with questions. They want peace, but have a hard time finding it or making it last. Well, Pastor Jeff is going to share in the message today about how you can finally be filled with hope, security, and most importantly, that peace you're looking for. Today's message is just for you. You can also listen to it again or any of the messages anytime you would like at our website, lifetalkradio.us. Let's go ahead and get right to the message. Here's Pastor Jeff to tell us what's coming up today on Life Talk.
The whole world is in search of peace and contentment. We wish we could wake up and be happy with our lot in life and enjoy the blessing of just being content and at peace. Yet, they so often elude us. In today's final message from our series in the book of Philippians, Paul is going to encourage us to practice contentment, trusting God to take care of our every need. In a world that seems to be getting more and more unhappy with each passing day, today's message is a must for the Christian that travels to the beat of a different drum. That of following the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, the one who came to bring peace to our souls and eternal life to those who place their faith in Him. So grab your Bible and follow along as I share the final message in our series in Philippians entitled, The Key to Contentment. How many of you have something in your heart you would do it if the opportunity were there? Come on, let me see your hands. You would do it. And the opportunity sometimes is money. Sometimes it's an open door, whatever it might be. I do too. I've got several things I would do if I had the opportunity. You got to wait for God to move. Now, let me just unpack this a little bit. In Paul's day, people under arrest were not cared for by the state like people in our jails are. It was up to the prisoners themselves to see that their physical needs were met. Paul had no means of support, so he was cast solely upon the Lord for help. And remember now, he just told us about praying through things. So he doesn't have any help. He needs help. He needs financial help, and it's not there. So what he told us in verses 6 and 7, praying through everything, not worrying about anything, he's practicing this himself because he needs help. And until Epaphroditus got there, it wasn't there. So notice his use of the phrase, now at last. How many of you have ever had a at last breakthrough from God? Have you ever noticed he's an 11:59 God? That sometimes he waits till 11:59 and you're about to go, well, it's over with, and 11:59 he comes through. Well, Paul put it this way, now at last. Apparently his needs had reached an 11:59 moment. And God needed to move now. But you know, Paul had learned way before this dire necessity of his to wait patiently for the Lord to act. And so he did this up to the very last minute. Meanwhile, the Philippians had wanted to do something, but they didn't have opportunity. There were no mail services then. There was no FedEx. There was no Amazon. There was no email, hey, we're sending something, it's on the way. No telephone, give Paul a ring and tell him that help is on the way. There was nothing. You prayed, you had God, and that was it. You did not know when help was coming. You didn't know who was doing what. It forced you to put your eyes on God and say, all right, if you want me to come home early by starving to death, take me home early by starving to death. But I'm praying, God, that you will come through for me. And the only way you knew that help was coming is when help got there. And that was it. So they lacked opportunity. God got it through to Paul by the wonderful individual Epaphroditus. Now, next Paul turns his thoughts to the power of contentment. Now, I want to really focus on this because I think most of us have a real problem experiencing contentment, and I'm talking about me too. Because how do you balance really wanting something and being happy with what you have?
Can I ask you again? How do you balance spiritual ambition? I'm careful to call it not fleshly ambition, but spiritual ambition. You have a vision. You have something God has put there that you want to see him do in your life, whatever it may be, a ministry, a job, a certain person getting saved, something in your own personal life, spiritual growth, an increased prayer life, whatever it might be. But there's something you want God to do, but he's got to open the door. So you've got this desire to move forward, onward, and upward, but at the same time, we're supposed to be content with what we have. Now, let me tell you about what I've learned. The more I go on in God, I got to tell you, the more I've learned to draw from his spirit day by day, and then hour by hour, and guess what? Sometimes moment by moment, I've learned as I've gone on in God, and I've walked with God most of my life, and I can tell you, I feel like I'm just barely learning some things, barely scratching the surface on some things, but I've learned to draw from him. To draw from him. I've learned that if I'll look to him, he's there. If I'll pray, he answers. That if I need him and say, Lord, I need you, he's right there. I've learned it. I've learned it. When I'm tired, I draw from him. When I'm discouraged, I cast it onto him. When I'm perplexed, I ask wisdom from him. When I don't know which way to go, I seek direction from him. He's my all in all, and I draw from him more and more. More and more, I'm perfectly willing to say, Lord, I can't do this without you. Who is sufficient for these things, Paul said. Not me, not without God. I need him. If you need him, say, I need him with me. Everywhere and at all times, I've learned to draw deep from the wells of salvation for all my needs. I love the old hymn, and at the end of this service tonight, we're going to sing this hymn. But here's what it says, learning to lean. I love it. It's so simple, so beautiful. Learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus, finding more power than I've ever dreamed. Learning to lean on Jesus. Now listen to these lyrics. Sad, brokenhearted, at an altar I knelt. I found peace that was so serene. And all that he asks is a childlike trust and a heart that is learning to lean. There's a glorious victory each day now for me. I found peace so serene. He helps me with each task. If I'll only ask every day now, I'm learning to lean. Amen? That is good stuff. Read it one more time. Read the chorus with me. Learning to lean. Learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus, finding more power than I've ever dreamed. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Amen. Can we give him a hand of thanksgiving tonight? Amen. Amen. Now next, we're going to discover the reason for Paul's desperate financial need. The great apostle Paul had a desperate financial need. He says in verse 14, nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Distress is a strong word. Now, Paul had always worked at the trade of tent making to provide for his own needs. It was his choice. He could have let the people support him, that is the church folks, but he chose to not take advantage of what God had given him total blessing to do. But by the time he wound up in Rome, he could not support himself while in chains. He can't build a tent, make a tent, weave a tent in chains. But it wasn't like him to tell others about his needs. So what did he do? Well, he tells us in verse 6 and 7 what he did. He prayed about it. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your hearts and minds for Jesus Christ. So we know what he did in verses 6 and 7. He had a desperate financial need, but he did not tell anybody about it. He went to the Lord. And what happened was, things had ultimately reached the point of his being in literal distress. The Philippians had come through, finally, now at last, with the needed finances. Now, I want you to notice next how his needs have been totally overlooked by churches he founded. Can I say that again? His needs have been totally overlooked by the churches he'd founded at the beginning of his ministry. He says in verse 15, now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, that means when I first started preaching, when I departed from Macedonia, no church, this kills me. Think, everybody say no church. Shared with me, gave to me concerning giving and receiving, but only you Philippians, only you. Only you. None of the other churches. Help me. What a sad statement. Paul had led thousands to Christ. He had established multiple churches. He was the spiritual father of untold numbers. Yet none of those churches had lifted a finger to help him in his travels. None of them. None of them. I think of Antioch. I think of Galatia. I think of Ephesus. I think of all these churches that he founded, and only one took up an offering and sent it to him. Wow. Now, and then you got to wonder, you look at the end of the book of Romans, and he names names that he loved, people that he loved. Where were Mary, who he names? Andronicus, Junia, Urbane, all the others that he greets at the close of the book of Romans. Long list of names. Where were they? Where? And now in Rome, as he's chained up, history's repeating itself, and Paul has literally been left to starve, if not for the Philippian church. As then, so now. It is a very subtle trap to become so engrossed in you and yours and me and mine and our own life that we forget to give to the work of the Lord by supporting those who are in service for the Lord of the work. Hear me on this, because I'm just reading the Bible to you. This isn't a Jeffism. Amen. I didn't come up with this. I'm just reading the Bible to you. I'm reading Paul. Okay? How'd they forget him? They forgot him. How'd they do it? They just did. They were too busy with themselves. So Paul says, let me brag on you Philippians a little bit more. Verse 16. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities. That's the Philippians again. Giving to Paul's ministry was not a one-time thing for the Philippians. They had done it once and again when he was in Thessalonica, and that was about 100 miles away. And let me tell you something. Try walking 100 miles tomorrow. How motivated would you and I be to walk 100 miles to hand somebody some financial help? That's a long way from Philippi to Thessalonica. But the Philippian church sent somebody 100 miles once and again to hand the man of God, their apostle, some financial help.
Pastor Jeff will be back in a moment, but first I want to share a couple of thoughts with you. First, you may not be able to stay with us for the entire program, but don't worry, you can find the full program at our website, lifetalkradio.us, along with all the programs. Lastly, we get emails and calls every week from listeners just like you who tell us how much the program means to them. But we want to hear from you too, so let me encourage you to connect with us by calling 877-884-3111, or you can email us through our website, lifetalkradio.us. That's lifetalkradio.us, or call 877-884-3111. And now, let's go ahead and get back to Pastor Jeff with the rest of today's program.
When he was in Thessalonica, he was only there maybe 3 weeks. So twice at least, they sent help in a three-week time period. Somebody walked that. How long would it take to walk 100 miles? How long would it take? I don't know, because I cycle all the time. How long would it take? It'd take days, take a couple of days. Somebody traversed a 100-mile journey, and they did not have I-35. They didn't have cement. These were rough roads, animals, beasts, robbers. But they went 100 miles to take him a gift. Twice in a three-week time period, at least. Wow. Now, verse 17, Paul says, now, not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Can we just let this man's spirit touch us for a minute? I want you to hear what he's saying. He's saying, you sent me financial help, but you know what? I've learned to be content. God takes care of me. It's not your money that I wanted, but I wanted the blessing that was going to come to you because you brought it to me. Wow. That is powerful stuff. You brought it to me, and I want the fruit that's going to abound to your, everybody say account. Now, let me ask you, what account? What account? Did the Philippians have, what, the first bank of Philippi? Was there a Chase Philippi there? No. What account is he talking about? Their bank account? No. What account? Their heavenly account. Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust corrupt and thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in, say it, heaven, where thieves can't break in and steal and moth and rust can't corrupt. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So everybody, please hear me tonight. Everyone here has a spiritual bank account. Do you hear me tonight? I'm showing you the word of God here. This is not me. I'm not coming up with this. This is not a gimmick. I'm telling you, he said, I want the fruit that's going to abound to your account. That's a banking term. So we have an account. And when we serve the Lord, things go in it. When we obey the Lord, things go in it. We're storing up. We can't take anything with us, but we can send some things ahead. And what we send ahead is when we serve the Lord, obey the Lord, bless other people, give to his work, help his work to continue, then something happens in the spiritual arena, in our own spiritual bank account. It grows as if by interest. And how did they put things in the account? Whatever you give to, you empower it to continue. Remember that. You go to Burger King, you just empower them to continue. You have Netflix, you just empower them to continue. Wherever you put your money, you empower them to continue. Because nobody in the world's financial setup can continue without finances. No business, no nothing, no ministry. So what did they do? They said, he's our apostle. He's reaching thousands of people. I'm going to give to him so that he can continue, so he can eat, so he has a roof over his head, so that he can continue, so that he can buy a ticket on a ship, so that he can travel. I'm going to help him. And it's not that I'm giving to the man, I'm giving to the ministry on the man. So Paul says, I am so thrilled you sent me the money because I know how God's going to bless you, that you're going to have fruit in your account. So they were laying up treasure in heaven in their unselfish giving to Paul's ministry. One preacher was heard to say, I read this recently, if you want treasure in heaven, you better give some money to somebody who's going there. Now, I would change that a little bit. If you want treasure in heaven, sow some finances into someone, I would say your local church, because we're reaching thousands of people every day. You're not giving to Jeff. You're not giving to human beings. You're giving to the ministry God laid on this church. And fruit goes into your account. I mean, why don't I preach this on Sunday? I mean, fruit goes into your account. Did I not just read it right here? It's right here. I'll never scam you. I'll never tell you a lie or manipulate you. But I will tell you what I see in God's word. And these Philippians were blessed. Paul says in verse 18, indeed, I have all in abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, that is the money. And look the way he describes it. It's a sweet-smelling aroma. It's an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. So giving from the right heart, the right motive, to the right thing is a pleasant fragrance to God. What if every time we gave our tithes and offerings, we imagine God smiling with pleasure with an expression of just having smelled a beautiful fragrance? Because that's what Paul saw. J.B. Phillips, Bible translator, rendered this verse, verse 18, this way. Paul saying, now I have everything I want. In fact, I'm rich, he says, in chains. Such generosity is like a lovely fragrance, a sacrifice that pleases the very heart of God. So how can anybody who names the name of Christ not give something to God's work? Amen. Not give something to God's work. So Pastor Jeff, I can't give 10%. Well, all right, give 2%. Give three, start somewhere, but give something to God's work. Because I just read to you how God blesses your account. All right, I'm going to leave it. I've sown the seed. Now next we come to the verse we all know regarding God's provision. This is one of our favorite ones. Verse 19, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. How many of you have ever quoted that and claimed it and thanked God for it? Amen? All right. We love to claim that verse. Oh yeah, my God will supply all my needs. But guess what? Let's keep in mind that this promise is given to the church, the only church that had continuously given to the work of the Lord in the Apostle Paul's life. Now, let me balance this. It's not that God won't help us whether or not we give. He will, and he does. But it does point out that giving to God's work brings a reciprocity from God. It shows that you can't outgive God. And if you give to further his work, he will see to it that you are blessed in return. You can't outgive God. You can't. Now, Paul brings his letter to a close, as was his custom. He sends greetings to the saints. Verse 20 and 21, now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household. Uh-oh, what? Now, verse 22 shows that during his incarceration, he made good use of it because he reached members of Caesar's household with the gospel. And the Caesar whose household he reached happened to be Nero, who was an insane lunatic, who was one of the worst emperors Rome ever had. It was Nero who burned Christians at the stake to light up his garden, covered them in pitch, and lit them on fire. That Nero died young and died insane, but Paul didn't care. He wasn't afraid of Nero, so he infiltrated Nero's household with the gospel. He said, you put me in these chains, you get me in close proximity to Nero and his household, I'm going to reach it for the gospel. He didn't have a pity party. He didn't sit around all day playing a violin. He said, I'm going to blossom where I'm planted. I'm going to reach people no matter where you put me. And I'm going to get into Nero's household. And I'm going to see people come to Christ in his household. Amen. So he reached some of Nero's slaves. He reached some of those people who filled all the different various offices connected with his administration. He didn't care how wicked they were. He didn't bewail how wicked they were. He said, I'm just going to reach you. And so Nero, unbeknownst to him, he started being surrounded by people who've been born again because of this guy down there who had appealed to Caesar, and now he's down there winning Caesar's household to Jesus Christ. Wow. I love Paul. You can tell I do love Paul. No greater Christian that has ever lived, in my opinion. And that's not to in any way minimize Peter, James, John. They were all incredible men of God. But this Paul, whoa, you could not keep him down. Well, we come to the close. The Philippian epistle began with grace in chapter 1, verse 2, and it ends with grace. Here's the last verse. Read it with me. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Jesus has been the theme of the letter, and joy the result of knowing him. His name is mentioned more than 40 times, which comes down to about once in every two or three verses. Paul magnified, mentioned Jesus. So I want us to finish by quoting together one of Philippians' most encouraging verses. And I love this one. I love many of them, but I love this one. It's good news for all of us. Chapter 1, verse 6. I want you to quote it out loud with me. Can we? Let's read it. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. Can we give the Lord a hand of praise?
We appreciate you listening today to Life Talk with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Every program we do has one main thing in mind, and that's to share the hope and good news of Jesus Christ to people who need to hear the message and to be inspired to put the teaching into practice. That's what this ministry is all about. So if you've been encouraged by the message, we would love to hear about it. Pick up your phone and give us a call at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. Or go online at our website to lifetalkradio.us. And be sure to save the web address in your favorites folder so you can come back often. Also, would you consider getting on board with us as a faithful ministry partner? It would really mean a lot to us. Your valuable contribution makes a huge difference to us in helping to get the message of the gospel out through this program to people everywhere. Your generosity, along with this ministry, is reaching people in a way that you may never have the ability to do on your own. So jump on board as a LifeTalk partner by calling us at 877-884-3111 or online at lifetalkradio.us. 877-884-3111 or lifetalkradio.us. From the bottom of our hearts, thank you so very much. Have a great rest of the day, and thanks for listening to LifeTalk.